From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. This week marks 4 days of Senate confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as senators from both major parties ask questions of the 48-year-old Antonin Scalia protege. Barrett has remained elusive of her positions on many critical issues, including the presidential election, abortion, and the Affordable Care Act. But a new study of her past rulings as a federal judge offers some guidance as to what sort of Supreme Court justice she would make. And the results are bad news for workers, immigrants, consumers, and more. My guest is Alex Morgan, Executive Director of Progressive Turnout Project. Welcome to the program, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, we should, of course, remind ourselves that the framework for these hearings is that 4 years ago, Republicans prevented Democrats from having an election year nominee, and they are rushing this confirmation hearing through in record speed while they ignore other more pressing issues such as a COVID relief bill, right? I feel like that framing is important to this discussion.
Absolutely. You know, we keep referring back to what's now known as the McConnell rule, where, you know, Mitch McConnell said the American people need to be heard in the upcoming presidential election. Of course, he was talking back 4 years ago in 2016. He doesn't seem to think those same rules should apply as we're even closer to a presidential election in 2020 and folks are already voting.
So the McConnell rule is do as I say, not as I do. It also seems to be the Lindsey Graham rule, who 4 years ago asked people to hold his words against him if there came a point where a Republican president in an election year would have the chance to replace a Supreme Court justice. So with all of that happening, one of the big issues that was raised was around the election. Senator Richard Blumenthal pointedly mentioned in his opening statement that a Justice Barrett, if she ends up on the Supreme Court, ought to recuse herself. How important is this? We should also note, I believe she didn't, when asked if she thought the president had the right to postpone an election, she said she didn't answer that question, which all of this is sort of troubling.
There is so much that is troubling about this whole process. And I think if we step back and just think about the process, you know, off the bat here, like we said, voters are already voting. More than 11 million people have cast their ballots already. We are in the thick of the presidential election. And of voters, the Washington Post, recently came out with a poll that said 52% say that this seat should not be filled until we have a winner of this presidential election. So we've got a pretty clear majority that is upset about this process. And this is something that we're hearing about in our conversations that we've been having with voters since the vacancy was announced. Corruption is the number one issue that we hear about from voters. And as these hearings have started to play out, people see that threaded throughout this whole process with Donald Trump trying to get his nominee on the Supreme Court ahead of the election. And I think what you just touched on about, rulings that may come down around the electoral process itself is just one reason why Donald Trump is trying to get his nominee onto the bench before Election Day. I was blown away when I heard, supposed originalist, textualist say in these hearings that she can't have an opinion on whether or not we'd be able to move Election Day or hear arguments around moving Election Day when it's pretty clear, crystal clear in our Constitution that Election Day is the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. So if we can't even get an answer on something as fundamental as that, I am really concerned about this nomination and where this would go if she's seated before Election Day.
Right. I mean, she has so far refused to answer questions that attempt to pin down her position on many issues. And some of it, I imagine, is justifiable. You know, she's I think, correct in saying that she can't very well relate her opinion on certain issues because that, you know, it depends on the case. She would have to rule on each case as it comes forward. But when you're asking a person to comment on a fact, does the sun rise in the east? And you say, well, it depends on the situation. You know, can you delay election? Does the president have the right to delay election day? And she can't answer. You know, she could have simply said, this is what the Constitution says, or this is what our laws say, and she refused to answer that. That's definitely troubling, because Trump has said very clearly, time and again, right, we need, this election will be decided at the Supreme Court.
And I'm concerned beyond just this. I have to think that anyone who heard an argument about when the election takes place is going to point back to the Constitution. I mean, that's pretty fundamentally clear. But we have so many issues that we know are tied up in the courts right now as it relates to absentee ballots and, you know, things like secrecy envelopes that voters may be confused about, and witness requirements, and the ability to just request an absentee ballot, or if your community is allowed to have a drop box in more than one location. These are all things that the Supreme Court is much more likely to hear in just the next couple of weeks as Republicans continue to appeal up to higher courts. And that should be concerning to everyone who cares about a free and fair election happening in the United States of America.
I want to pick up on what you said earlier about Amy Coney Barrett being seen as a so-called originalist. What does that mean? As far from what you can tell from the Senate hearings so far, how does she seem to view the U.S. Constitution as a document, you know, written hundreds of years ago but amended multiple times?
Well, you know, what she would tell us, and I think we've heard a little bit about it in these hearings, is that she is looking at, you know, the literal word of what is written, as well as what, you know, the folks who came up with any statutes or amendments intended at that time. But I think we're seeing, you know, I go back to this election day and other examples about voting that we've heard come up through the hearing. She tends to pick and choose when she wants to apply this framework. And we saw this come up with the DC versus Heller case. All right, you know, in this case, it is, in her opinion, it is very clear that there is no way to infringe on an individual's right to keep and bear arms. That's her view when it comes to, you know, gun ownership. But when it comes to the fundamental right to vote, we're talking about, you know, the 14th Amendment here, and every way in which that's been expanded upon in intervening amendments. In those cases, you know, she talks about how, well, you know, it isn't necessarily that same fundamental right. There was this distinction between individual rights and civic rights. And, you know, I think folks like Senator Klobuchar got her really wrapped up in her views and how she's applying them. And Democrats have been poking holes in how she's applied this theory in her time on the bench.
Of course, the issue of abortion is a critically important one. And there is a reason, of course, why Amy Coney Barrett is on the list supplied to President Trump by those forces that want to overturn Roe v. Wade and also many, many other statutes. But let's focus on abortion for a moment. What did she say or not say around overturning the women's right to a person's right to an abortion?
I think she's been very clear in what she hasn't said about the matter of abortion and, you know, women's rights to their own health care. We've gotten talk about super precedents quite a bit, and this is how she's evaded questions around Brown versus Board of Education. She's said, you know, no one would come to the court saying that we need to impose segregation. I just found the whole back and forth with the senators to be a little ridiculous on the topic when we're living in the world that we're living in. But when it comes to other matters like abortion that may come before the court, she says, well, those are issues and matters of controversy that may come before the court. And so, you know, she's not able to say what she would or wouldn't consider or would or wouldn't do on the bench. So has been sidestepping A woman's right to choose in every which way during these hearings.
The Affordable Care Act is another huge issue that Democrats have been raising repeatedly. You know, such an important issue. It's a number one issue for voters. We are in the middle of a pandemic. Millions of Americans have lost their jobs. And if they had health care through their employers to begin with, have lost it. And states have, Republican states have refused to expand Medicaid for years under the Obamacare statutes. And of course, the Trump administration has chipped away. They've gotten rid of the individual mandate. They've claimed they had a brand new, better healthcare law, but of course, they don't have a plan. So this is an important issue. And this leads me to the report by Accountable.us, this organization that showed, looking back at Amy Coney Barrett's record of rulings as a federal judge, that they found that she sided with corporations over people 76% of the time. And of course, the issue of healthcare is very much an issue of corporate profits versus essential rights.
No, I mean, Judge Barrett has repeatedly ruled for corporations over working people, including in many employment discrimination cases. But getting back to what you were saying about healthcare and how that is the number one issue in many surveys that come out about conversations with voters at Progressive Turnout Project, you know, we're getting closer and closer to our goal of making 55 million phone calls this year. And after corruption, healthcare is the next highest issue that we hear about, and we see it playing out in every single battleground presidential and Senate race across the country. And we know that this is one of the major reasons why Judge Barrett was selected as Donald Trump's nominee. She has strongly criticized both major decisions that have upheld the ACA. And, you know, so we know healthcare for more than 20 million people and protections for more than 133 million people with pre-existing conditions, including, everyone who has come down with COVID this year. Those are on the line in this election. And as it was said in the vice presidential debate the other week, Donald Trump, Amy Coney Barrett, they're coming after your health care. And that's what's at stake with this nomination.
Yeah, it's amazing that they would get rid of or work so hard to overturn the Affordable Care Act, an act that actually is, you know, largely supported even by the health insurance industry when it first came to pass under Obama. But it seems like it's part of this ideological bent among Republicans that the government should have no role to play in ensuring that people's needs are met, that the free market should ensure, should be, you know, that our needs must be met and will be met by the free market, by an unfettered free market. And so there's this libertarian streak, but of course it's hypocritical, right? Because time after time, we see government intervening under these so-called libertarians in favor of corporations. And Amy Coney Barrett is likely to be part of that.
Well, and it just goes to show you how much further to the right the Republican Party and, you know, groups like the Federalist Society have pushed the Republican Party, that someone like Amy Coney Barrett, before, you know, getting to the bench under Donald Trump, is out there criticizing, you know, the rulings of their own Chief Justice, John Roberts, on matters like the ACA. This used to be something that we could agree about. It wasn't that long ago that Mitt Romney was instituting a very similar program in Massachusetts, and this was a Republican way of providing more healthcare to more Americans. So it's amazing to see the rightward shift and how demonized these ideas that once were Republican ideas are in the public sphere. And, you know, at the end of this process, this deeply flawed process, we're going to have to ask ourselves, where do we go from here to make sure that people are receiving the coverage and protections that they need? Because so much is at stake, and we may just find out in a couple months what happens to the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, it's my hope that we have a Democratic president, a President Joe Biden, and a Democratic Senate and Speaker Pelosi there and ready to respond rapidly to the needs of the American people.
What about the issues of race? Amy Coney Barrett was asked about the police brutality facing George Floyd, who died at the hands of police. She is the adoptive mother of several, I believe, two black children out of her seven children, and claims that it was a very emotional time, emotional issue for her, and an incident for her family at that time to see this incident play out. But, you know, setting that aside, because it doesn't matter what one's personal experience is. After all, we have Justice Clarence Thomas on the court already. From what you can tell from her past rulings, would she in any way be a force for racial justice on the court?
You know, I don't see anything to indicate that she would be. I don't question at all that it would have impacted her and her family the same way it is. You know, watching that video has impacted so many Americans, but we've seen no evidence of her, you know, academic profile or her brief tenure in the Seventh Circuit to indicate that she's going to be a force for good on these issues or really any other issue for that matter.
So we have an issue here where there are 11 million people who have already voted. I believe compared to 4 years ago, at this time, it was something like 1.4 million people that had voted. So massive turnout for this election. People are voting on who the next president should be at the same time that Trump is trying to rush through his Supreme Court nominee. You have a senator like Mitt Romney, who is the only Republican senator to vote to vote against Trump in the impeachment trial when it came before the Senate. Yet Romney has made clear that Trump being able to appoint a justice is more important than his principles. Does this whole charade, this whole circus that's playing out at the Senate right now indicate a critically important aspect of the Republican Party, which is that it doesn't seem to be a party that has many principles anymore?
Yeah, I'm wondering where this moral center is and where it's gone, because it certainly does not exist right now when you have someone like Lindsey Graham, who, as you said at the top, said, use my words against me. Well, here we are, and you know, someone who we wouldn't have even imagined would be in a competitive race this year. You know,
and Lindsey Graham claims that the reason why he's gone back on his word is because of how badly the Democrats treated Brett Kavanaugh.
I mean, just amazing. You know, what does Brett Kavanaugh have to do with anything about, you know, where we fell in the process or anything like that? But, you know, I think the American voters see how deeply flawed this is. And that is why senators like Lindsey Graham, in a state where we would have never imagined that race being competitive, is being, you know, given a run for his literal money, with Jamie Harrison raising more than any Senate candidate in a campaign quarter ever, is out fundraising Lindsey Graham and has him tied in the polls. So we're feeling really good about the numbers that we're seeing. As you mentioned, more than 11 million voters have cast their ballots already. And I'm feeling really positively that those folks are going back into their communities, you know, with just a few weeks to go, and are now going to be voting ambassadors, right? I've cast my ballot already. What about my friends, family, and neighbors? So I think it's really going to drive up turnout to numbers that we haven't seen, at least since Barack Obama's first election in 2008. And you know, we're really looking forward to making a huge difference on November 3rd.
And does it seem to you that Republicans are seeing Senate control and the control of the Senate as a sacrificial lamb to having a conservative majority in the Supreme Court for decades to come, and that they know that they are really risking the handful of seats, including Lindsey Graham's, to lose it to the Democrats, because in the end they'll get their Supreme Court majority?
Absolutely. This is going to be the lasting legacy of Mitch McConnell. You know, let's go back just, you know, 4-6 years ago when Republicans grabbed control of the United States Senate. They put a halt on not just a Supreme Court nomination for Barack Obama, but all sorts of federal judicial appointments. And that is why in Donald Trump's first term, he has been able to appoint more than a quarter of the federal bench and has dramatically reshaped the Supreme Court. So they are willing to put their majority on the line, knowing that they really waited in line, bided their time, and held up Barack Obama's appointments so that they could dramatically reshape the judicial branch of government. And it's something we're going to feel for decades to come.
And for Trump specifically, it's very possible that even if he were to lose at the election, and you know, even with a Justice Barrett in the Supreme Court, that having a conservative majority could protect him from going to prison for the numerous charges that he is implicated in, that he could be slapped with the minute he steps out of the White House.
Right, and we will have to see how that all plays out. But that gets back to this whole question of where is the moral center of this party, that only one person, voted along with the impeachment articles in the United States Senate, and we don't even hear much from those individuals anymore.
Well, give out a website, Alex, where people can find out more about the work you do. It's the Progressive Turnout Project, and election is in full swing in many states.
That's right. So you can learn more about us at turnoutpack.org. And if you want to find out more about when and where you can cast your ballot, we have a voter toolkit up at votingmatters.org. So please vote.
And we'll post links to that from our website. Thank you so much, Alex. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
My guest has been Alex Morgan, Executive Director of Progressive Turnout Project, and we've been discussing the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearings. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali. Thank you so much. Really